When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, the Dark Paranormal, Season 17. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Dark Paranormal, Season 17, Episode 3. A huge thank you to everyone who reached out to me after last week's episode, both about the episode, and also my weird bout of laryngitis that seemed to come out of nowhere. If only my voice was AI, then that certainly would have helped our Patreons this weekend for Dark Bites. For any new listeners to the show, we normally have about 5 minutes at the beginning where I thank the Patreons, I update the listeners about any new news that may have taken place, and sometimes we give updates on previous episodes. However, if you're just here for the experience, I always suggest skipping ahead to around the 5th minute. In my accidental venture into reading some reviews recently, I did see one comment where they rated the show 1 star and said it's 29 minutes of adverts and plugging Patreon. Now, if somebody wants to put a review such as that, which is of course nonsensical and also insulting to everyone who's been brave enough to share their experience, then so be it. No one should worry about anything that they can't control, and I certainly can't control another human being. But I would ask you all politely, if you get the chance, to go and leave a nice review, be it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show, just to balance out these negative, wrong impressions of the show. For example, saying, my voice, the one I use every day, is AI, therefore 1 star, or the show is 29 minutes of adverts, therefore 1 star, and there seems to be a common sort of language used. It does have the feel, for whatever reason, of some sort of targeted attack, which is all well and good, do what you wish. But remember, this is my livelihood. And those sort of lies, as in I'm not AI, and the show isn't just full of ads for 29 minutes, it not only brings the rating down, it brings the reputation of your show down. Remember, this is just a platform for your experiences. So if you would be so kind as to go and maybe counterbalance these, well thought out, wonderfully worded pieces of constructive criticism, I'd be eternally grateful. But maybe 2 minutes plus is more than these people deserve, so let's move on to something more positive, our wonderful team over at Patreon. When you choose to join our Patreon, not only do you receive everything on this main feed, both early and ad-free, and that includes, of course, debuts, finales, and minisodes, which we'll be doubling up during October, but you can also gain access to our exclusive Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. It releases each and every Sunday of the year without fail, and has a back catalogue of, well, around 70 hours worth of Patreon-only material. But without doubt, the best thing about joining our Patreon is the safe space we've created over there with our like-minded paranormal community. And that community and myself would love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Cilicia Seal, Stephanie, Davia Alexis, Stephen Wheel, Connor Johnson, Anna Smythe, John Winkler, Casey Sims, Alex Talley, Lacina Hart, Haley Osland, Julie Bernard, Camilla Felix, Stephanie Dagonet, Sarah Rizicki, Heather Walsh, Fernando Mayer, Austin, Chandra Phillips, Lauren Humphrey, Siobhan O'Malley, Paul Black, Shannon Manning, and Jay Sue Volker. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. It truly means the world to me, as you may have been able to tell from the beginning. And I hope you enjoy all the early ad-free releases, as well as those Dark Bite episodes. But right now, it's time. Lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we listen to Shadows Surround Me. My name is Rose, and for as long as I can remember, even as a toddler, I used to always see things. I would try to tell my mum, but of course it would always be brushed off as being my imagination, or just one of those things. I was especially afraid of the dark as a child, because that's when I'd have most of my experiences. But it was sporadic, and they were relatively small things. Nothing major happened until I was about 10 years old, and that's when things changed. My mum and I, along with my new stepdad, all moved into a small house on the edge of the neighbourhood. We lived in a nearby town outside of Tampa, Florida. So most of the homes in the area were built around the 30s and 50s, when the area was being developed. I had my own room, as I was an only child, and I spent a lot of time by myself. Shortly after moving into this new, very small house, my experiences began to amplify. Sometimes I would see people standing in the corner of my room at night, whilst I lay there, terrified. One figure in particular I'll always remember, as he almost looked like a cartoon. The colours were very vivid, with creamy browns and deep velvet greens. This man wore an odd suit with a long jacket, almost comically pointy big shoulders, and a large wide brim hat. I now know this was a Zoot suit from the 1930s era. But as a kid, I just thought it looked odd. He'd always be in the corner of my room, hat tipped down to hide his face and flipping a coin. Always just flipping this coin. He never bothered me or attacked me. He'd just stand there. I wish the other spirits in the house were peaceful like him, but I wasn't so fortunate. At that age, I was still terrified of the dark, because that's when things would happen the most. Truth be told, I still am. I had a little nightlight in the shape of a cow jumping over the moon, and I depended on that to be able to sleep. One night, when my mum was done putting me to bed and about to shut the door, she hesitated a moment and then called from the doorway that I was too old for a nightlight, and she pulled it out, quickly shutting the door, leaving me in the pitch darkness. I know it was her way of trying to force me to grow up, but I was petrified. I was so scared. I remember only my eyes were peeking out from under my blanket, darting frantically around the room. I had a porcelain doll collection at the time, about 5 of them. They sat on a small mounted shelf next to my door facing my bed. They'd been gifts from my aunt and my grandmother over the years, and all looked like me. Blonde hair with green eyes. As I was looking around the room in darkness, trying to calm myself down, and tell myself the shadows I was seeing were just my imagination. I looked at the dolls, and I froze as in unison all of their heads turned towards me. For the first few moments, I was paralyzed with fear. I don't think I'd ever felt that kind of fear before. I was only 10 after all. But I vividly remember the way it washed over me, in paralyzing waves. It's one thing to see a shadowy thing I can convince myself wasn't there, that was in my head. But this was different. This was real. These dolls were moving. I don't know how, but fight or flight must have kicked in. And after what felt like hours, I gathered the courage and I jumped out of bed and flicked on that light as fast as I could. I was shaking and out of breath, looking at the dolls for confirmation that I'd just been seeing things. I expected to see their heads forward, as normal. And I was almost sighing a breath of relief, already telling myself I was silly, until I realized they were all indeed turned towards my bed. The really unsettling part of this was that most of them could not move their heads. They were solid porcelain, all the way down to the middle of their chest. No ball joints. So what I was looking at should not have been possible. I wanted to call for my mum, but years of her telling me it was all in my head made me believe I couldn't. She'd never believe me, even with the proof in front of her. And I'd just get yelled at for breaking the dolls. I didn't have a happy home as a child, and sadly, it wasn't an environment of trust. So, instead, I took them all off the shelf, and I did the only thing my 10-year-old self could think of, which was to put them away. I kissed them each on the forehead and apologized for putting them away. And I hid them in the back of the closet, in a storage bin, and shut the closet doors. They were the kind of doors that were on a track, so slid open and closed. I don't remember when or how I fell asleep that night, but I must have eventually dozed off. The next morning, when I woke up, the closet doors were somehow broken off the tracks and were now impossible to close. My mum, of course, blamed me, and I got into trouble for breaking them. I didn't even bother trying to explain that it wasn't me, that it was the dolls. It sounded weird even to me, and I'd lived it. A few months later, and the environment in the room had taken a turn for the worse. As I mentioned, I was a pretty solitary kid. I spent most of my time indoors, in my room, spending time alone. For me, my room has always been my sanctuary. After the doll incident, my room changed. From a welcoming, safe space to a very uncomfortable place to be. I never felt alone in that room anymore. Shadows would dart back and forth in my vision at night, and sometimes I'd even feel hands or some kind of pressure on the edges of the bed around me. While my parents never sensed anything, my stepdad, having been a very strong skeptic, and my mum being very tight-lipped about anything paranormal, and she'd had experiences as a child herself, of floating above her body, often when she'd sleep. This was after she'd died on an operating table and had been resuscitated. Dead relatives would come to her the night they passed. But their stories for another day, and stories I didn't hear myself until I was much, much older. To this day, no matter where I live, my closet doors will always break within the first week of me living there, to the point I can't close them, no matter what kind of doors they are. And this has been true since I was 10. I'm now 36. There's been no exceptions. Roommates have witnessed this, and I eventually started to plan for the extra cost apartments were going to charge me for the broken doors. I think it should also go without saying that I no longer care too much for porcelain dolls. In that same house, a few months after the start of everything, I was awoken one night by my bed violently shaking. I bolted upright, trying to orient myself with what was happening. My first thought was an earthquake, and I glanced worriedly to my left, where I had a collection of my late grandmother's glass perfume bottles. I knew if I saw them rattling, then it was the whole house. But they were still, silent. It was then I realized we're in Florida. And even though I was only 10, I knew enough to know we don't get earthquakes in Florida. So after a moment of realizing, yes, my bed was indeed violently shaking, I jumped off and turned around, staring at it. It only took a moment for my brain to kick in and scream, "Run," which I did. I snatched my teddy bear off my bed, one of my items of comfort, and I left my room, shutting the door firmly behind me. I stood there in the small hallway, directly in front of my parents' door, and I froze. What was I supposed to do? My parents would be so angry if I woke them, and my stepdad had started to become very violent. I'd like to attribute that to the house and the atmosphere, but it's a personality he never grew out of, even after we moved. And he kept it until he passed away a few years ago. And I didn't want to risk making them both angry. So, instead, I did the only thing I could think of as a 10-year-old, and I plopped down on the cold concrete floor and slept in the hallway in front of their room. In the morning, when they opened the door, they were both furious with me. I think I scared them, to be honest. I suppose that's fair. To wake up and find your child on the ground in front of you would be alarming. But when I tried to explain why I was there, they wouldn't hear it. I was screamed at and punished, and it secured my knowledge that my parents were not a safe space, especially for anything paranormal. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, your retirement. You're probably thinking, I need surplus money to invest, but you don't need a lot of money nor expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. And right now, Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. That's extra money for your retirement. If you're anything like me, you always thought investing's what other people do. Other people who know what they're doing. Well, that's where Acorns come in. They do know what they're doing, on your behalf. And they're also putting their money where their mouth is, because as mentioned earlier, open an Acorns Later IRA and you'll get up to a 3% match on new contributions. So head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/darkparanormal. Now let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. It's September. It's back to school for many people. You start thinking of the year ahead. Will you get those work projects finished by the end of the year? And speaking of the end of the year, you have Thanksgiving, the holidays. They're all going to be upon us soon. Your brain is a whirlwind of plans, as it should be, because we're designed to survive by planning. But we don't plan that much when it comes to the end, i.e. when we're gone. It took me till last year to get life insurance for myself. And that's because life insurance felt a bit daunting, but Policy Genius makes this process a breeze. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. With Policy Genius's technology, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers in a few clicks and find your lowest price. And if you ever need help or guidance, they have an expert licensed support team to answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the whole process. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace for a reason. They don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, and their advice is unbiased. Everything else aside, the peace of mind you get from knowing your loved one's expenses are covered if anything happens to you is priceless. It's never too late to plan ahead, so head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see just how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD, MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it, and what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to grundymd.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's grundymd.com/darkparanormal. After that, I refused to sleep in my room. As I mentioned, we were in Florida, and the house did not have air conditioning. Only one window unit in the living room, that was always on, and another in my room, which stopped working around the same time. It turned out to be a good thing, because I used the heat as an excuse why I refused to sleep in that room. Not knowing what else to do, my parents started pulling one of their mattresses out of their room every night and putting it in the living room for me, where I continued to sleep until we eventually moved a few months later. We were only in that house for about a year, but I can still remember the feeling of something lurking in the shadows, and I'll never forget it. As it tends to do, time moved on and I grew up. I ended up leaving for college with my then best friend. We'll call her Brittany. We were inseparable. A few months into college and we met another girl, we'll call her Sarah, and we all hit it off right away. Our duo became a trio, and as college-aged kids tend to do, we started experimenting with things we were better off leaving alone. If I typed out all of our experiences, I'd probably have a novel. So just know we spent months interested in the occult, in spirit boards. We never intentionally dabbled in anything dark, That wasn't our intention. But as you are well aware by now, spirit boards are like opening a door and yelling, "Come on in," to anyone and anything that might be listening. And believe me, they were listening. We were going to school at various colleges in Tallahassee, Florida, and it was around 2006-2007. Local law in the area was that there was an old abandoned insane asylum not far out of town. It had been used as a tuberculosis ward when kids had the disease, and the disease itself was running rampant. And like most mental health centres of the past, its history was not a kind one. One day, the three of us had the genius plan of going out to see it one night. It had been condemned and was going to be torn down soon, or so the rumour had it. Google wasn't like it is today, so all we had was the rumour mill, gearing up for a serious night of ghost hunting and urban exploring, which was actually our first serious attempt outside the walls of our apartment. We set off an hour or so before dark. When we found the place, we were a bit disheartened to find it had already been torn down, and recently too. There was an empty clearing in the middle of the woods, not far from the main highway, with rubble all around its perimeter that had clearly once been the foundation. Bummed, but having found out, we decided to get out and look around anyway. The sun hadn't yet set, and we figured a look around couldn't hurt. So we split up, and we began wandering around the ruins. The legend about this place used to say that there was a shed, not far from the main building, that was very haunted. And we'd hoped, maybe, that hadn't been torn down. So, skirting the edges of the woods, I noticed a broken concrete path leading off into the woods. I called out to Brittany and Sarah, who excitedly came over. All of us were thinking the same thing, the shed. So, together, we followed the path that led us deeper into the woods. The path had places where it had broken off or been overgrown, but we followed the general direction and noticed things started to get a bit weird. We began to notice glass jars everywhere, some really old and some quite new. Some had weird coloured things in them, broken lids, water. We chalked it down to maybe people used to hang out there before it was torn down. This was a college town after all. But then we noticed the path stopped. Together, we all looked and saw, standing in the middle of the woods, a blue door. You might be thinking, oh, like the door was laying against a tree. And that's a fair assumption. But no. This was a bright blue door, still in its frame, stood on its own in the middle of the woods. When we crept closer, we could see a cinder block foundation in the shape of an inverted cross and realised this must have been the shed. But why tear the place down and leave the door? It made no sense to us. But being 18 and there for the thrills, we all laughed and scouted the area. I'd like to tell you this next part wasn't me, that I was smarter than this, and that I was pressured into it. But unfortunately, I do have to claim the blame. I don't know why, but I suddenly thought, let's go through the door. I said it out loud, and while slightly apprehensive, Sarah and Brittany agreed. So, positioning ourselves in front of this random freestanding blue door in the middle of the woods, we opened it and one by one jumped through. We were all giggling and enjoying the fun of the moment. when suddenly the atmosphere changed. I couldn't tell you how exactly, but everything became more oppressive. And we all had this sudden feeling of just wrong. We were not alone anymore. Like it had been called. We started hearing someone walking in the woods behind us. It's important to note that the dirt road the asylum was on was also a small police station, a good way down the road. And we knew if we were caught snooping, it wouldn't be good. So instead of thinking ghost, we thought police. And we all ran. We headed in unison through the woods to the left, because we knew it led out onto the main highway. And we'd smartly parked just right off it, and not on the dirt road. See, we did have some common sense. As we ran through the woods, we all heard the unmistakable sound of someone following us. It wasn't until years later, when I thought about the story, that I realised if it had have been the police, they would have said something. They would have identified themselves. Maybe even told us to stop. But that didn't happen. We never heard a voice. Just the sound of twigs snapping and bush being swiped past as someone was running behind us. After a few moments, all three of us burst out onto the highway, a little way up from where we parked. As soon as I hit the pavement, I turned around to look behind me, and in that split second, I saw a leg. It was from about the shin down, and it was all black, like a shadow. And I watched it dart behind a tree. The logical side of my brain said it was the police who'd been chasing us, and they were about to pop out from behind the tree any second. But they didn't. I stood there, breathing hard from the sprint, staring at that tree, unblinking, trying to process what I'd seen. When I realised no one was actually there, I turned to look at the girls, who were all looking at the same tree. Before I had the chance to speak, Sarah spoke up. "Did you just see a leg?" she said, clearly bewildered and unsure. I was floored. It's easy for me to explain away what I saw. We were running. We'd already had ghosts on our mind. Of course, it's possible I hallucinated it. But us both hallucinating the same thing? And if we wasn't hallucinating, who was chasing us? Brittany would later claim she saw the same thing, but to be honest, she was known to lie a lot. And Sarah and I both privately thought she was just saying that to feel included. I'd like to say the story ended there, that we licked our wounds and we went to do something normal, but we didn't. We were invested now, and we already had a second location in mind. Tallahassee is one of the oldest towns in Florida, and it has one of the oldest cemeteries too. This one had been established in 1829, and I know in Britain you're used to having old locations, but they're much harder to come by in the States. The cemetery hadn't had a burial plot since 1902. And it was surrounded by 13-foot iron rod spiked poles, all with barely a few inches between them, and one entrance only, which was a solid iron gate. This information is important for the story, as I need to stress how impossible it would have been for anyone, even Olympic gymnasts, to get over that fence, especially unseen and quickly. Walking through the only way in or out, we all silently split up. Usually, in cemeteries, I don't go there looking for anything spooky. I'm a huge history nerd, and I just like walking through and reading headstones of people long past, wondering what their lives were like, and if there was anyone who remembered them still. The cemetery was in the shape of a square, The gate was by the lower left corner, and we'd all split up and wandered our way towards the middle of the square. I was more towards the top middle of the square, Sarah near the true middle, and Brittany, I believe, a little ahead, towards the bottom centre of the square. At first, it was actually kind of peaceful. We were just wandering in silence, enjoying the atmosphere of quiet contemplation. When all of a sudden, there was an immediate shift in the energy. I had the same feeling as if you're relaxing on the couch and someone bursts in angry. They may not say anything, but you can feel the shift in the air. You know things have become suddenly dangerous. Those listening with a troubled upbringing may know exactly what I mean, though I sincerely hope most of you don't. At the exact same time, all of us stopped in our tracks and looked at one another. It was a silent understanding, but we immediately knew we were no longer welcome, and we had to get out. We all walked towards one another quickly, meeting in the exact middle of the cemetery. It had a small dirt path cutting the square in half, long ways. Once we all met in the middle, we had a hushed conversation about how things suddenly felt weird, and we all agreed in unison that our night was indeed over, and we should make our way to the entrance. Turning to walk down the middle path to get to the gate, I was in front and glanced over to witness the entire silhouette of what seemed to be a slender but average-sized man walk a few steps backwards and then turn to crouch behind a headstone on the edge of the cemetery, just by the gate. I froze. I was instantly filled with fear, but not because of the paranormal. My first thought wasn't, "It's a ghost." My first thought was, "We are three young women out in an abandoned part of town at night," and I became instantly convinced there was a man hiding there, waiting to attack us, rob us, or worse. So, having been the only one who'd seen him, I told both girls to wait right there and not move. Keeping my eyes trained on the headstone, confident he had to still be there because, as I explained previously, there was literally no way he could have slipped past me. Edging forward down the path, I palmed the hammer that I happened to have with me. That might seem odd, but we'd all taken a few small tools with us that evening, having expected to navigate an abandoned building. But I was now extremely grateful we'd done so. I steeled myself to take the next step, which would expose the man behind the tombstone. I took a breath and stepped and... nothing. There was nothing. I stood there a few moments, my eyes watering because I'd not been blinking. And I finally gave in to the urge, blinking rapidly, hammer gripped firmly in my right hand. The headstone was far enough away that I'd been so confident we'd scare him off. But there was no one there. No one on the street. Looking back at the other two, I was about to open my mouth to tell them there was no one there so they could share in my confusion, when instead I looked past them and towards the raised far end of the cemetery. Instead of seeing just headstones and the iron fence, I saw shadows, dozens of them. Some of them looked like they were kneeling on the path, others standing. It looked like a silhouette of a crowd, and the vibe radiating from them was, "Go home, little girls, before something bad happens." I feel my words fall short of describing that feeling rolling off them, but just know it was what nightmares are made of. The other two must have seen the look on my face, because they both turned around, and whilst they didn't scream, I could feel the shock roll through their bodies. We were frozen in time for what felt like ages, but was probably a second or two, before we all turned and bolted at the same time. Running, we made our way to the iron gate that was still wide open, and we ran out of there as fast as we could. Once we cleared the gate, we stopped and looked back one last time. The shadow people were gone, but the feeling wasn't. And I couldn't help but think we'd narrowly escaped something very, very dangerous. When we all spoke of the events later, the other two confirmed what they saw matched what I saw, though I was still the only one who saw the dark figure crouch behind the headstone. I have more stories to share of my own, of how I first developed sleep paralysis, including my mother's own stories. But this is already longer than I anticipated, and I apologize for that. I discovered I had ADHD when I was 33, and now, at 36, I've discovered I'm also autistic, as are many of the close friends I had growing up. None of us knew this at the time, but knowing what I know now, and listening to some of the stories your listeners share, I can't help but think there may be a link between being neurodivergent and being able to interact or at least perceive the spirit world in a way neurotypical people usually don't. I also find myself wondering how many of the people who've shared stories with you are like me, going through so much of their life not knowing they're different. Either way, your show has given me a place where I don't feel so strange, and for that I thank you. And if you decide to share my story, thank you to everyone who's listened. I hope you know what I now know. You're not alone. Rose. Well, thank you so much, Rose, for giving us our episode 3 of season 17. And it's an interesting theory that you posit at the end of your experience. The different chemical makeup of our brains may indeed have some effect on how we perceive the paranormal world. And whether there are studies already done which look at people who are neurodiverse and their take on the paranormal, I'm unsure. But it's certainly something I'm going to be looking at right after recording this. So, thank you once again, Rose, for a wonderful experience. Now, next week, we finally come to the conclusion of an experience for which the first 2 installments proved to be some of our most discussed and intriguing episodes. Season 12, Episode 4, we were first introduced to Kinnar in the episode The Dark Arts. 2 seasons later, Season 15, Episode 3, The Dark Arts Part 2, Kinnar provided the next part of his journey to uncover his family's past. And next week, for Episode 4, Kinnar returns to end his journey. So I would suggest, prior to next week's show, for the full effect, you re-listen to both Season 12, Episode 4, and Season 15, Episode 3. Because next week, we bring one of the most intriguing paranormal experiences that we've ever had on the show to an end, with The Dark Arts, The Last Rite. But right now, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.